Psalms 23, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So we're still in the book of Psalms this Sunday, but we're in chapter 22. To begin with, we're going to be in chapter 22 of the book of Psalms today. And I'm going to read verses 25 through 31 to you today. So if you've got a pen and a piece of paper or however you mark it in your Bibles, This is going to be another good message from the Lord. I've never received a bad message from the Lord. Anybody here in the house of God, you ever received a bad message from the Lord? You know, I used to struggle going home every Sunday. I used to struggle and ask Pam, I said, I just don't feel like I did a good job today. Pam said, well, what are you talking about? You did fine. But some Sundays, I used to do this every Sunday. I'd leave this church, get in the car, and I'd tell Pam, you're my witness. You don't like me mentioning her name, but I would say, I just don't feel like I did a good job today. I don't know if anybody received anything today. But you know, that's the devil. That's the old tempter. He's trying to get me to doubt. He's trying to get me to doubt from the pulpit. You didn't do a good job today. You failed today. How many times in a week do you think the old tempter comes up in your heart, in your mind, in your ear and say, you know what? You failed today. You didn't do a good job today. Anybody? Has that ever happened to you? It happens to me all the time, during work, wherever I'm at. You didn't do good today. You failed today. Why do you even try? Well, you're about to find out why we should try. You're about to find out why we should never give up hope. When you've lost everything, church family, when you lose everything you ever thought was good to you, and the only thing you got left is hope, and the kind of hope I'm talking about don't come from the world, it comes from God. There's people laying in the hospital this morning at the brink of death, but they still got hope. In God. Amen. They still got hope. Their families can still have hope in God. Amen. Somebody say amen to that. You still got hope. If you ain't got hope, then you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got God, you ain't got nothing. If you ain't got God in your life, you are nothing. I know. Say, preacher, that's a pretty strong comment you just made. No, that's a true comment. I used to think I was something. I used to think I was all great and dandy and fine and almighty and powerful. But that was before God come along. I didn't know that I didn't have all the power. I didn't know that Ophel wasn't all that great. But God had to show me who the great one is. God had to show me who the all-powerful one is. And now I know. And now listen, in Psalms 22, starting in verse 25, let me get down there. I want to read this to you. Verse 25, this comes out of the New King James Version. And it reads to us this morning. It says, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. Now let me just stop right there. I want to touch on that real quickly this morning, and we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But it says here in verse 25, I will pay my vows before those who fear him. And when you make a vow before the Lord, you better keep it. Amen? Because the Lord takes your vows seriously. He takes them very seriously. And we'll get to that part in just a little bit. But it goes on to say that the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. At the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. Verse 29 says, all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him, it will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. And let me ask you to bow with me this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, we just want to continue to praise and worship you this morning through the word this morning, Heavenly Father. And God, we pray now that you would just humble our hearts before you today, Lord, and receive this message, God, and maybe it'll be applied to our lives, Heavenly Father, that we have a better understanding and knowledge of who you are and what you mean to us, Heavenly Father. And God, now I ask you to hide me behind the cross as always and let your word be spoken through me, Lord, nothing more than a willing vessel, a servant, Heavenly Father. And God, let me not take any glory for anything that has been said or done in your house today, Lord. But Lord, let you have all the glory and all the honor that you deserve, Heavenly Father. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Today, I want to tell you right off the bat, from you comes my praise. From the Lord, your praise, the ability to praise the Lord comes from the Lord. I love to praise the Lord. I love to serve the Lord. I love to talk about the Lord, and because I know that's where my strength comes from. I know that's where my deliverance comes from. That's where my healing comes from. That's where my abilities come from. They don't come from me. They don't come from the world that I live in. I often think about this. Everything that I possess comes from the Lord. Amen? Anybody else? Everything that you possess today, even to the shirt and on your back and the shoes upon your feet, come from the Lord. Amen? Thank God and praise God for that this morning. If you don't got nothing to praise God for, praise Him for that. The food that you eat, the bed that you sleep in, the house that you live in, the cars and the vehicles that you drive back and forth, all come at the hand of God. For those who seek God, for those who serve God, for those who love God. There's so much turmoil in the world today, in the lives of people. Me and Sue talked about this on the phone last night, Sue. If they would only realize that the mighty hand of God, it says here that the poor shall eat and be satisfied. I don't know about you. I'm not the richest man in the world, but I am satisfied. Amen. Anybody else in the house of the Lord satisfied this morning? I'm satisfied. I'm poor this morning, but the Lord says those that are poor shall eat and be satisfied. The Lord supplieth that which you have need of. And there's no need to go out in the world and chase after this or that, because the Lord says those that humble their heart before Him and seek His favor, guess what He's going to do? He's going to bless you. He's going to take care of you. He's going to listen to you. He's going to help you. He's going to lift you up when you can't walk. He's going to help you to walk when you can't take the next step. He's going to show you the path to take. You're going to be at the crossroads, and you're going to be standing there, and you're going to look to say, go straight, left or right, and the Lord will tell you, He will show you the way that you must go to be blessed by the Lord. I've went many ways out in the world, but I was never blessed at my own decisions. But yet the Lord says you have free will to do whatever you want to do. As I told the young adults in Sunday school this morning, you've got the free will by God to do whatever you want to do every day. But unless you want to be blessed by God, unless you want to be satisfied at the hand of God, you must humble your heart before the Lord and seek His face. You know how many people could be healed today if they were seeking the Lord's face? You know how many people could be delivered from their sins and bondages of sin today if they would humble their hearts before the Lord and repent of their sins and let the Lord direct their path and set them free? The Bible says when you set free from your sin, you're free indeed when you know the truth. And the Lord wants you to know the truth. The devil don't want you to know the truth this morning, church family. He wants to keep the truth from you. He wants to hide the truth from you. He wants to blind you from the truth that God wants you to have. And He's willing to do whatever it takes. He's willing to do whatever it takes to keep you blinded so you won't see the truth of God's word and God's plan. How many know this morning that God has a plan for your life? You say, well, I'm already retired. I've already worked and I've done all this all my life and I'm retired now and I've already lived. No, that's not the end of God's plan. No. No, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. Sadie, I'm not old enough. God's got a plan. God's always had a plan. But guess what? If God's got a plan, the devil's got a plan too. Amen? The devil's got a plan to stop you. God's got a plan to promote you. The devil wants to demote you. God wants to promote you this morning. How many wants a promotion at their jobs? How many wants a raise? Oh, right here. I'm probably somebody from Apple Steel is watching this morning. Hope they don't tell my boss. Oh, but you know what? I'm just using this as an illustration. God wants to give you a raise this morning. God wants to give you a promotion this morning. The devil wants you to get fired. The devil wants you to demote you this morning. The devil wants you to do things that he wants you to do. But God said if you follow him, God said if you humble your heart before him, he's going to promote you. He'll give you a raise. He said, as a matter of fact, he'll give you more than you can handle. He'll satisfy all you need. Do you believe that this morning, church family? Do you believe that God can satisfy all your needs? You say, well, preacher man, I got a lot of needs. I got a lot of needs that need to be satisfied. Well, guess what? God can satisfy all of them. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Am I telling you the truth of God's word this morning? He says, I can deliver all the needs that you have. I can meet them. I can meet all your needs. Now, let me tell you a little something about this Psalms right here. Brother David was surrounded. And this is what is amazing to me about this Psalms. Even Psalms 23. David was surrounded by the enemy. David was at the brink, at the face of death. He was about to be killed by his enemy. But guess what he did? Now listen, y'all want to know the best part about this Psalms? You're about to hear it. And this just excites me. I'm getting chill bumps before I even say anything. That's called them Holy Ghost bumps, goosebumps, or whatever you want to call them. David was surrounded by the enemy and they were about to kill him. And he cried out to the Lord and he made a vow unto God. He said, God, if you will deliver me, God, if you will help me out of this situation. How many times have we found ourselves in situations and we just call upon the name of the Lord because we ain't got nowhere else to go. And we say, God, if you'll just do this for me, I will live and do this for you. Anybody in here ever done that? I've done that. Let me tell you, your preacher has done that. I've been in situations where I didn't know what else I was going to do. I didn't know where else I could turn to. I couldn't get Pam to tell me the answer because she didn't know the answer. So I'm stuck. Now what do? I make a decision. I call upon the name of God, my Father God. I said, God, if you'll do this for me, I make a vow to you that I will live and serve you before others. Amen. I make a vow unto you, Lord, to serve and praise you. I make a vow unto you to humble my heart and bow down to you. I will bow down to your will and forget about my will, and I'll serve you. And guess what happens? Miraculously, miraculously, David is delivered from the hand of the foe, and the foe is defeated by God's own hand. And David kept his promises. David kept his vow. He went back and he lived and served God before others. Now let me tell you a little something about making vows. That Numbers, I think, I want to read this to you real quick. Numbers tells us, I think in Numbers in chapter 30, verse 2. It says that a man should not make a vow that he is not willing to keep. That he should hold by. When you make a vow, let me tell you this. When you make a vow before God, you are binding yourself. You are binding yourself to God. When you say, God, I will live for you. God, I will serve you in the capacity that you want me to. You are binding yourself with the very words that's coming out of your heart, out of your mouth. If you say when you become a Christian, when we take an oath as a Christian to read our Bibles and study our Bibles and to be witnesses out in the world, we're making a vow before God that we will serve God in the capacity to go out and seek out those that which are lost and heading straight to hell to be witnesses to them about Jesus Christ. Am I telling you a lie this morning, church family? That's a vow. When you get married, you vow. I vowed the day I married and I put this ring, or Pam slipped this ring on my finger and I put hers on her, my ring on her finger. I made a vow that I would honor our marriage. Probably got that backwards, Pam. But I would honor our marriage. I would uphold our marriage till the day we die. And I would be for her and she would be for me. I took a vow before God and said I would do those things. Not only to honor God or honor Pam and myself and our holy bonds of matrimony, but to honor God. When you take a vow, when you make a promise unto the Lord and you hold it, uphold it with what you said you was going to do, you're honoring God. Amen? You are honoring God. You are lifting up God. You are praising God, just like David did. He went out before others. He said, I'm not living the same old life I used to live. I'm going to serve God, and I want other people to know that I'm serving God. I want them to know that my God just delivered me from the hand of the enemy and saved my life. How many in the house of God today and on Facebook or watching on social media, how many would be so truthful to say that God saved your life? How many in the house of God today? How many has God saved your life today? God has saved my life. He saved my life from the gates of hell. I was sitting at the gates of hell, and hell was about to prevail over me. But God came in and saved my wretched soul. God saved my life. God turned me around. God, I repented of my sins and I asked God to come into my life. And I said, God, where? And when God called me into the ministry, the number one thing I told God, I said, God, I make a vow unto you to serve you until the day I die. Wherever you tell me to go, wherever you want me to go, I will go. And I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I have done that up to this point in time. I have served God. I'm serving God. I've been in prisons. I've been in jails. I've been in hospitals. I've been in funeral homes. I've been in people's homes. I've been on the streets. I've been at workplace. I've been, you name it. I have been there, and I even at the gas pump. When you think there's nowhere to talk about Christ, when you think you can't strike up a conversation about Jesus, and you're standing there pumping your gas, and all of a sudden somebody starts talking to you. Next thing you know, you're able to start witnessing to them about Jesus. That must be a preacher. Well, I got to hurry up and get my tank filled so I can get out of here. But no. It's a lot of people, if they know I'm a preacher, they ain't going to stand around too long to talk to me because they don't want to talk. People don't want to talk to preachers. You know why? Because God scares them. you ever been scared of God? God scares them. They thought, oh, that's one of them religious people. That's one of them people that go to church all the time. Yeah, I'm not a perfect person. I'm a sinner. I admit I'm a sinner this morning. But I'm a sinner saved by God's grace. I'm a forgiven sinner this morning. Anybody else in the house of God? I'm a forgiven sinner this morning. That's what we all are. If you're in Christ this morning, you're a forgiven child of God. All your sins have been forgiven. Are you ever going to sin again? Yes, you are. You're going to sin, but we got an advocate. We got Jesus Christ that goes to the Father when you go, say, man, I screwed up today. I made a mistake today. I done something today I wish I hadn't have done. And Jesus goes to the Father and he says, God, Father God, loving Father God, you remember what I did to pay for that sin. And God looks at that and says, you're right. I've already been paid for. And that child's forgiven. All right, let's move on. Yeah, that's in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. It says, if a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by a pledge, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to the words he has said. That's in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. Going on down. You know, the funny thing about trials and situations, Psalms, down in verse 26, tells us again, the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Listen, can I tell you a truth this morning that you might want to hear? Troubles don't last forever. Amen? For children of God, troubles don't last forever. Trials and tribulations don't last forever. Your heart will live forever if you seek out God today. If you seek out God with a humble heart today, I promise you that your trials, that your tribulations, that your troubles will be moving on. They might be here today, but they're gone tomorrow. Amen. Do you believe that this morning, church family? I know that. I don't have to convince you of that. I've been in lots of trials, and I've been in lots of tribulations. I've been in lots of situations, but they've all passed. And you know, even though the storm might last for the night, the dawn comes in the morning. And I want to read this to you this morning. You might want to jot this down. It's not scripture, but I had a little, I don't know if anybody know who Anne Lamott. You ever heard of Anne Lamott? I read a saying from her. It was a quote from her. So this is not my quote. This is hers. It says, "Hope begins in the dark. If you show up and try to do what is right, the dawn will come. You wait, watch, and work, and don't give up." Is that not a good quote? Jesus Christ, let me tell you, let me elaborate on that. That just spoke to my heart when I read that. God just spoke to my spirit and said the darkest hour that Jesus Christ ever faced was up on the cross. In His last hour of His life on this earth, He was dying on the cross. That was His darkest hour. The most darkest it could get. But He didn't give up. Amen. Aren't you thankful to know that this morning, church family? He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He waited. He kept watching. Even on the cross, He was watching. Even on the cross, as He hung between two thieves, He was watching. And waiting and working and even witnessing. And one of those thieves accepted Him as his Savior. Is that not an amazing story? And the dawn came after the death. When Christ, as He prophesied He'd be raised up in 3 days, when He came forth from the tomb, that's when the dawn came. That's when hope didn't give up. See, so it doesn't matter how dark it gets in our lives. It doesn't matter how bad it gets in our lives. Don't give up. Amen? Keep on working. Keep on waiting. Keep on watching. I told these young adults back there this morning, I said, the way you keep this flesh in check is to keep the Spirit in check. Amen? You keep the Spirit of God in check, this flesh won't do anything you won't let it do. Amen? This tongue won't say anything that you won't let it say. If you keep in check with the Spirit of God. And once you keep in check with the Spirit of God, you'll be walking the path of God. You'll be living the path of God. And you'll be praising God. And you'll be lifting up your voice unto God. Because this flesh is unruly. It'll do whatever you let it do. But the Spirit of God won't. And that's where we all need to be, is in the Spirit of God. All right, almost done here. Now let me tell you something about a little bit about hope real quick. There's a story here about a man that was in the military that came and sought out Jesus. It's over in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to paraphrase it to you this morning. There was a certain man in the military came to Jesus and said, "Hey, I've got a good servant at my home that's suffering terribly." He was paralyzed. He was going through a lot of suffering. "If you would just come, or if you would just speak," he told Jesus. And Jesus said, the odd thing that Jesus asked the man, "Shall I go? Shall we go to your home and heal the man, or heal your servant?" And the man told Jesus, being the kind of man he was in the military, he said, "I don't feel like I'm worthy enough for you to come to my home. If you would only speak the words, my servant shall be healed." And Jesus, in the latter verse, says, "And of all of Israel, I truly tell you, in all of Israel, I have not found such a faith as yours." Now, what if we all had faith like that this morning? What if we all felt like this? Jesus said, hey, this man, I'll speak the words and he shall be healed. And even before the man could even turn around to get back to his home, his servant was healed. Just with the words that Jesus spoke. Because of the man's faith, that he had faith enough, even though he didn't see himself worthy, he didn't view himself as worthy, but he had the faith that Jesus could do something for someone else. Now that's what I call standing in the gap. Amen? That's what I call true faith. That's what I call true love of God, true love of Spirit. And I know that had to change the man's whole life. And think about the servant that was terribly suffering. Jesus never even came to lay his hand upon him. All he said, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And the man, I could just see the servant getting up, thinking, man, I'm fine. What's going on here? What a story that man, the guy in the military, what a story. Because the servant probably wondered, how did this happen? And when the man come back, he probably told him the story. You're not going to believe what happened. You're it. You're is what happened. Right here. Look what happened right here. That's what Jesus can do for you today and me if you want him to. All right, final words. Final thing I'm going to say to you. Oh, man, I got to read this to you. Got to read this. Got to say this to you. Psalms 127 verse 1. You can write this down, read it later. Meditate on it later. Psalms 127 and verse 1. It says this, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. Unless the Lord builds the house. The Lord has built this house right here. I believe without a doubt today that the Lord is in this house today. Anybody else? Praise God. Hallelujah today that the Lord has built this house. And the only reason this house has been built is because God is in it. Amen? The Lord is in this house today because He's in you and me. But unless the Lord's in it, it's a waste of time. And that speaks volumes to me. Young people, young guys, young adults, listen, your schools, keep God in your schools. Keep God in your home. Keep God in your future. Keep God wherever you go. Unless God's in it, Carson talks about driving around in those high-dollar cars. Like young kids do, they see them expensive cars and Corvettes and you name it, big boats and big houses, because that's what the world's view of success is out in the world today. If I got big houses, big cars, big boats, big yachts, whatever it is, banks full of money, that's what the world view is of success. But Jesus, God's Word says, if you keep God in it, you'll be successful. If God's in it, if God's building the house, He's going to take care of it and He's going to protect that house. Let us pray this morning. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, I could go on and on and on this morning. I could turn this into a revival this morning, Heavenly Father, if you so be it. But God, I want to thank you for the word that has been spoken forth this morning. God, I thank you for all these beautiful people here today, all the beautiful people watching on social media today, Heavenly Father. And God, I do thank you for bringing things back the way they were, but I hope they weren't. I hope we're not bringing things back the way they were. I hope we're bringing things back to be better, Heavenly Father, not just the way they were, not the same old, but Lord, let things return back according to your will, according to your planning. And God, I pray this morning when 9/11 happened. You know, Lord, we saw reports. We heard reports of more people praising and worshiping you than ever before. But then after time has passed, it all went back to normal. It all just kind of faded off. But we still remember, Lord. We still remember that terrible day. But God, we don't want to go back to the same old. We don't want things to go back like they were. We want them to be better because we want you in it. We want you in those things. We want you promoting the things that you want to bless us with. The things that you want to grow. The things that you want to prosper. And God, I pray that we will do those things. God, help us to keep the vows that we took. The oath that we made to serve you as witnesses outside of these church walls in the world. Lord, there's a lot of souls dying out there today, facing death right now as we speak. God, we pray that you would put those people in our paths, Heavenly Father, that we can talk to. Talk to their families, Heavenly Father. Make sure that they're Christian. Make sure they know that Jesus Christ died for them and can forgive them of all sins and wants to become their Savior. God, bless this church. Bless this church body. Bless those that are watching on social media today. Lord, bless the church universal today. And God, let everything that we do and say in your house and outside these church walls reflect who you are in us. And when we fail you, Lord, when we make mistakes, God, we just ask you to forgive us. And these things we humbly ask this morning. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.